He is a senior writer for The Athletic. He is a good friend of the program. He is busting his ass to get to Houston for game six tonight. We are joined by Sam Amick. Sam, what's going on, man? How are you?
Romy, I'm doing great. You're accurate, my friend. I am busting my ass to get to this game. And shout out to friend and colleague Tim McMahon of ESPN is at the wheel. We are barreling down. Is this I-10? I-45.
I love it. I was going to say, Sam, I love that. I was going to say you've got two great stories up on The Athletic, which I will get to in a minute, but you are en route to Game 6 tonight. It has not been an easy trip. At one point yesterday, you were at the Albuquerque airport. So what's been going on? And tell me again where you are right now. How far off are you?
All right, so we're about 3 hours out of Houston. Albuquerque happened because as many years as I've traveled, I made a rookie mistake, and I took a flight from Oakland to Houston that was not nonstop, and by the time we landed in Albuquerque, the weather was so bad in Houston that they shut down the airport. And I'm not alone. There's a lot of media folks who got rerouted through different cities. So I ended up flying into Dallas. Tim happens to be based in Dallas. And so hence, we're now driving buddies. But we'll get there. We got to go see where this series is going to go.
All right, so let's talk about that, too. Sam Amick joining us. In terms of the series itself, the two pieces that you have up right now on The Athletic, for instance, where were you, Sam, when Kevin Durant came up limping with 2:05 left in the third quarter on Wednesday night, and what was your initial reaction to the injury?
So I was on press row at Oracle, which is the top of the lower concourse, you know, so not close enough to really get a feel for it, but I immediately, you know, pretty quickly thereafter, I decided to go down to the hallway and see what it looked like. Now, as you know, and everybody knows from watching it on TV, when Reggie Miller was thinking it was the worst, that it was going to be the Achilles, whenever, you know, when you see a guy come up lame like that, non-contact, that whole thing where it looks like he got kicked in the back of the leg, that's what everybody's thinking. And then in the hallway down by the Warriors locker room, I mean, kind of like I wrote, there was a lot of panic, at least on the faces of different Warriors power players. I mean, Joe Lacob, the owner, came down there and was trying to figure out what was going on. The GM, Bob Myers, the rest of the Warriors group. It was a very, you know, really tense 16 minutes because nobody knew. And it looked like, for one, the Warriors are trying to hang on in that game and not go down 3-2. And then you've got this backdrop that everybody's aware of, that Kevin and his free agency, and not only that, but was this the last game at Oracle because they're moving to San Francisco next year? So a lot of layers to it, but it was pretty dramatic.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So you worked your way down there, and as you mentioned, you saw some of the biggest people in the organization. GM Bob Myers was there, the legendary Raymond Ritter, a couple of players, Joe Lacob. 9:31 p.m. Pacific, Lacob returns to his seats. Myers left shortly thereafter, as did the players. So, Sam, at that point, what did you think was going to be the news?
I was waiting for the verdict that it was the Achilles. I mean, that's where my head was at, because even – so one of the guys I wrote about, a guy named Chuck Terrell, is a Nike marketing pro basketball rep, and Kevin's, you know, kind of right-hand guy in the shoe industry for years. And I mean, you know, I was talking to Chuck in the hallway, and it was not encouraging. There was no information at that point, but the mood was down, and the mood was bracing for the worst. So I definitely thought that we were going to be talking about him, you know, having what is one of the worst injuries in pro sports.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So that was the fear. And then at 9:35 p.m., the team announces it's a calf strain. What was the reaction to that news?
Relief. And then, like, you know, from all involved on the Warriors side, and then certainly, you know, then kind of the pursuit of clarity happens, meaning, you know, calf strain is such a general term that, you know, we had to wait until the next day to get a better read on the timeline. And it's funny now because on the one hand, like the way I wrote it, you get the sense that there's that relief and they dodged a bullet. I mean, they obviously didn't completely dodge a bullet. For the purposes of this series, the outcome is the same as it relates to Kevin. He's not going to be part of this series. And I wouldn't be shocked. There's no guarantee that he's going to be available if they win, I think, in game one or game two of the conference finals. This is the type of injury that, you know, can take 7 days, can take weeks. You know, grade two would have been much worse. It appears to be a grade one. But, you know, they're not out of the woods just yet. But, again, independent of everything, I think you've got to be happy for Kevin first and foremost, because that is potentially a career-altering injury. It's so hard for guys to come back from the Achilles.
We're talking to Sam Amick. You know, Sam, when you look at the way they reacted, I mean, it's got to be really jarring to see your brother and your best player arguably go down the way he did, especially right in the middle of something like that. But then they step up, notably Steph Curry, who had 16 after Durant left the game, and they grind that thing out. However, it's one thing to survive 14 minutes without Kevin Durant. How do you think they deal with 48 minutes tonight without him, especially from a depth standpoint?
I feel like they're going to be in trouble tonight, and we'll see how it pans out. But, I mean, the combination of Houston being on its home floor, knowing that they absolutely blew a golden opportunity in those final 14 minutes to take advantage of the injury to Kevin. And I think for the Warriors, what's going to be challenging and probably just enough to send this thing back to a game seven is that it's just not easy in real time to figure out, you know, the new rhythm of your operation without somebody, you know, whose game is as incredible as Kevin's is. You know, Steve Kerr has got arguably the thinnest bench remaining in the playoffs. That's probably not even, you know, a debate whatsoever. And he's got to figure out his new rotations. Can I trust Andrew Bogut? Can I trust Sean Livingston? You know, is Alphonso McKinney going to give me anything? What am I going to do beyond my core three now? And, you know, that's where it gets tough because the Rockets play well in that building. James Harden has got to know that it's time for him to redeem himself because that was not a great look at all in the fourth quarter with, you know, his lack of aggression. So if we're handicapping this thing, I think it probably ends up going seven.
Sam Amick writes for The Athletic. He is en route to Houston right now. Sam, before you go, the thing about the Warriors is it's not just about tonight. Of course, it's about a really critical summer for them. You have a second great piece up where they are as a locker room and the futures of some of the players that are involved. How did Curry describe the vibe in the locker room and among the players right now compared to how it's been at points during the season?
So he called it great. You know, Kevon Looney, who I also spoke to for the piece, and I'm always a sucker for the role players who pay attention to this type of stuff. He's been there since 2015, and Kevon said right now that the locker room was as good as it's been all season. And I just think it's a little bit of an under-talked about part of their story right now because back in November when they went sideways in that Clippers game and Kevin and Draymond were yelling at each other and it was so negative, we always thought that when we reached April and May that maybe they would fracture, maybe they wouldn't be getting along, maybe they would just basically decide that, you know, if Kevin is kind of heading for the exits anyway, then what are we fighting for? And it has not been the case. I mean, for them to show the kind of resolve that it took to pull that game five off speaks well to where they are as a group. And Steph made it really clear that they're in a very good place. And he talked about how they're blocking out all the BS and all the headlines, you know, because now they know what's on the line. I mean, you know, three-peat opportunities are in short supply, and they know the history of the game, and they know what's at stake, and they're trying to not let that get away.
We're talking to Sam Amick for a few more moments. So, Sam, based on what you reported on, do you get the sense that the chance of Durant staying with Golden State may have actually increased recently? Is that the way you see that?
It is, yeah. I mean, I say that hesitantly because it's so hard to – we've been taking a pulse on this thing all the way through the year, right? And I mean, in the one sense, Jim, we've had people all year long telling us that it's unofficially a wrap that Kevin's going to New York, and so you definitely thought that was the case. But then, you know, we're only as good as what we're being told, right? And right now, I mean, I'm comfortable saying that there are definitely some people with the Warriors who just at least have a little bit of an uptick in their optimism that maybe he would think twice about leaving. And the root of that is the way they're getting along. It's even the idea that the fans, I do truly think that players in general care, you know, how the fans see them and how much love they get from the fans. And the Warrior fans, ironically, now have been down on Steph lately because he's been struggling. And in the end, maybe that ends up helping their cause when it comes to hold on to Kevin because he's been getting love. People have appreciated his game in the Bay. They know what he has done for them. And I think they're starting to sense that if this dude leaves, this team is not going to be, you know, in nearly as good a spot as they were the last couple of years.
So one final thought on that same topic. You know, when you look at LeBron, he leaves the Cavs for the Lakers and the organization promptly implodes. Kyrie fights his way out of Cleveland and his time in Boston has been a borderline disaster. Do you think there's any way that Durant would look at those two situations and think to himself, you know what, I've got a really good thing going here. I'm not going to change that up. It may not be worth it.
No, it's a great point. And it's funny, like a quick backdrop to that point, Jim. This column that you're talking about, the angle you just highlighted was my initial thought. I was going to go deep down that road, but I can't read Kevin's mind. So I don't know if that will impact his decision. I would, you know, if I was one of his advisors, I would definitely say that's a great idea to analyze and examine those other situations, because LeBron and Kyrie both, it's a little bit of a be careful what you wish for, grass is not always greener, whatever cliche you want to go with. It has not panned out like they wanted. Lakerland is an absolute dumpster fire right now, and Boston is not much better, and Kyrie has taken a ton of flack. So this is, I say it all the time, it's a five-man game, even more than that. I mean, it takes 10, 12 guys. It's a team game, and if you don't have the right group around you, not only on the roster, but the GM, the owner, the culture, the environment, all of those things, then, you know, you're going to put yourself in a tough position as a star.
He is a senior writer for The Athletic and has mentioned two really, really good pieces up on The Athletic right now. Good friend of the program. He is en route to tonight's Game 6 in Houston. Sam Amick, my guest. Sam, way to play through it. Nice job. Great to have you back, and I always appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks, Romy.
Great job. Sam, as always, one of the best. Sam Amick. I like that point at the very end that it's impossible to read Kevin Durant's mind, but there may be a sense that the likelihood of him staying may have increased of late.